perfect through sufferings.
I'm delighted to be here, brother, to rejoice with you as we see the conditions in the world, as we see the dark clouds that are hanging over the peoples of the or nations of the world. Yet we are fortunate that we can come together and still encourage and strengthen one another in the most holy faith, and that by divine grace and mercy we are able to still look into that word and to receive a blessing. And so much the more as the Apostle Paul mentions, as you see the day approaching. It is required that we have an earnest and a hungry spirit. That is to be hungry for the word of the Lord, to be anxious to be fed with these wonderful words of life. But when we think of self, we realize how imperfect we are. Oh, as the Apostle Paul mentions in Romans, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, this vile body? But he thanks the Lord through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And also I think of our Heavenly Father, so very high that we cannot understand his existence. All that we can do is use the words of Scripture, particularly in connection with our Heavenly Father. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also. And this is, we're grateful for that. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. It does take great humility on the part of the individual to come in harmony with the Heavenly Father and to worship him through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, you know that a great time of trouble will have to come before the world will be ready to say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord's house. It will take a sharp experience to awaken people to the reality that there is a God in heaven, and that in order to yield to our Heavenly Father, you have to be humble. Humble yourselves, not somebody else. Huh? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And brethren, this is where our Lord Jesus, that wonderful Savior, oh, if it wasn't for our Lord Jesus, who was made perfect through suffering, if it wasn't for that, none of us or the human family would ever have an opportunity for the blessings that will be available in the future. In other words, whatever human creation upon this planet Earth, if it wasn't for Jesus, they would go to oblivion and disappear. But by the grace of God, by the great love of God, God so loved the world, the human family. He didn't have to do that, you know. Our Heavenly Father didn't have to do that. His throne is justice, and our first parents disobeyed, and death penalty upon the human family. He didn't have to send his son, but his love, and truly whatever holds the world together in society today, Do you not think that it is love that still holds it together? I mean, in the human family? If there wasn't that love, it would quickly disappear as far as human organizations and human systems are concerned. But that spark of love still in the human family can hold the human family together, and especially in the family relationship, the love for one another still strong, and it holds them together. And if that is possible in the human family, what about our Heavenly Father? God is love. I know that He does love to create. And as according to Revelation, if I'm not mistaken, the 4th chapter, 11th verse, that he created all these things for His pleasure. It's pleasurable to create things. And you know, human beings love to create things, and they take joy in it. And so our Heavenly Father has joy and pleasure in creation. And how wonderful it is that our Heavenly Father, they created the Logos. Oh, the only direct creation of God, the only begotten Son. And that's what that means. The only begotten Son. The only direct creation of God. And through Him, everything that was created was created through Him. And in Colossians 1:16, it says, for Him. Not only through Him, but for Him. And so you can just imagine how the Logos was willing to come down to this planet Earth. What a sacrifice, brethren. Did you ever stop to think about it? Just think of it. We ourselves, as human beings, we don't want to live on a lower level, do we? If it's possible, we want to live on a higher level. And our Lord Jesus, who was with the Father, and through whom everything that was created through Him. We think of the planetary systems traveling over this planet Earth. We are amazed at the immensity of this planet Earth. And what is this planet Earth? Merely a speck in connection with all the other systems of the universe. And so our Lord Jesus, who had such a high position next to the Father, was willing to come down to the level of human beings. And so the Apostle Paul, who we're very grateful for, if we could just stop to think, brethren, if the Apostle Paul did not write the letters that he had wrote, we would not know much about our Heavenly Father and His plans and purposes. The Apostle Paul had such a deep insight into the divine plan and purpose of God that he was able to write these things of which the apostles and the other apostles were puzzled of some of the statements and writings of the Apostle Paul. They did not have the deep insight. And the Apostle Paul in Hebrews mentions this wonderful statement when he said that in the 7th verse, who in the days of his flesh, the implications of these few words, you can almost analyze that there is a purpose for him to come in the flesh. and that it doesn't mean that he'll always be in the flesh. But it implies, in these words, in the days of his flesh. So, if that is what our Lord Jesus did, came in the flesh, it means that he's not now in the flesh. And so the implication, who in the days of his flesh, he took on what? The apostle says, the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. You know, Abraham, Jesus had said in the 8th chapter of John, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad. Abraham looked for that seed that would eventually lift them out of that terrible condition of which they find themselves. He looked for a seed that would bless the human family. And he, by faith, could see beyond. And he looked for that seed, and he thought Isaac would, that is, at first, you remember, he had Ishmael, and oh, that Ishmael might live. He waited long for that seed. But the Lord said that Sarah should have a seed, and that was Isaac. And when Isaac came on the scene, you remember sometime, I do not know how old Isaac was, but the Lord told him to take thine only son to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. Now, brethren, he was looking for that seed. There's the seed. And Isaac was the promised one. And he was to bless the families of the earth. And now to sacrifice him. What a difficult, brethren, a very difficult situation. Very difficult for any human being to do. And yet, by faith, he offered him up because he had faith that God would raise him up. All that is so beautifully done in the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. But you remember, Abraham, he just looked for earthly things and earthly blessings. But he offered him up because of his faith in God that he would be able to raise him up. What a beautiful picture that is. You know, I often think on the road to Emmaus, when the two disciples, after Jesus was crucified, were so saddened and discouraged and bewildered because of what had happened. I can imagine how that traveler who walked with them on the road to Emmaus began with that story telling about Abraham and his son. Ought not Christ to suffer? Don't you see he should suffer? And that's one thing that the early disciples did not see. When Jesus came, all they thought of was he's to build have an army and to release the children of Israel from Roman bondage. And here, instead, he was crucified. And so they did not see the scriptures of the sufferings of Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience to the things which he suffered. And so there was a purpose for our Lord Jesus to come to this planet Earth to be that seed of Abraham. Paul mentions that in Galatians, the third chapter, and if I'm not mistaken, the 16th verse. And then Paul says in the 29th verse at the end of that chapter, if ye be Christ, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise? If ye be Christ, there's no other way to worship our Heavenly Father, only through Christ. And you know, brother, I often think of that in the fifth volume. I think every Bible student should memorize this. Fifth volume, page 256. The transformation of character, we must remember, comes not by saying, Lord, Lord, or having a Bible in one's possession, or joining any earthly organization called a church, but joining Christ. There's no other way. No man can come to me except the Father would set me, draw him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other purpose than to worship God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our brethren pointed to that. Our brethren before us had all pointed to our Lord Jesus, not to themselves. Brethren, this is the great test upon us. We should learn that through Christ we can only come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so our Lord Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Well, brethren, didn't our Lord Jesus come to die? Didn't our Lord Jesus know that he was to die? Sure he did. He knew the scriptures. And when he was baptized in the River Jordan, you remember the information we get, the heavens were open unto him. Meaning that which he knew already in the Bible, that is, he knew the Old Testament, knew the prophecies relating to all of these things, that which was illustrated in the Old Testament, he realized that he was that Lamb of God that should die by the grace of God for every man. The heavens opened up, filled with the Spirit, so that these types and shadows of the Old Testament became vivid, and he knew that he was to die. But Paul says in this wonderful chapter, with strong cryings and tears from him, that was able to save him from death. What kind of death did Paul mean? Oh, our Lord was concerned that through 3.5 years that he would fulfill the divine will concerning him. He realized that as in the type, in the high priest, that as he went under the curtain, and did not fulfill that, death was a possibility. And so our Lord, with all his faithfulness and zeal, still concerned that he fulfilled every iota of God's will. That altar of sacrifice, the altar of God's will. And as Jesus was baptized, you remember he said, Lo, it is written in the volume of the book, to do thy will, O God. Oh, I can just try to visualize our Lord Jesus, 30 years of age, huh? And what was uppermost in his mind? to do God's will. And as it says in the account, with desire have I desired to eat a supper with you before I suffer. With desire, with earnestness, he wanted to carry that out all the way to the end. What a wonderful example of full consecration to the Father's will. But now, what death is this apostle mentioning? Oh, brethren, it could be eternal death if he did not carry out his covenant of sacrifice. Oblivion, cast off. And that's what he was concerned about. And so our Lord Jesus carried it out to the uttermost, the greatest sacrifice the world will ever know. And brethren, you can just picture what is mentioned in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Incidentally, some years ago, or quite a few years ago, in a school in New York State, most of the children in that school were Jewish, and therefore they could not read from the New Testament, only the Old Testament. And they read from the Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, this account. And the Jewish students complained because they said they were reading about Jesus. And the professor said, well, we don't read the New Testament. We read the Old Testament, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. So even then, students, even themselves, realized some of the meanings of this 53rd chapter. But what we wanted to say, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, despite the sufferings that Jesus went through. Oh, when I think of the last moments, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, he said. I can't understand that fully unless we experience it. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Have you ever been so sorrowful that you almost feel as if you're going to faint? Yes. Well, I imagine that's the way our Lord Jesus felt. He felt so terrible that they could not see, but he knew that they would not, for he predicted, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, connection with Israel, thou that stonest the prophets and all that are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thee as a hen with her chicks, and ye would not. Therefore your house is left desolate. Our Lord Jesus knew that, but there's a sorrow connected when people do not accept the truth. And so our Lord Jesus knew that he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, for by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Our Lord Jesus, now at the right hand of the Father, yes, Revelation 3:21, he that overcometh will sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome, and sitting with the Father on the Father's throne. He does, I imagine, look at the whole process of his life and existence, waiting for the bride to be completed. His soul will be satisfied that is completed. Now that is illustrated so well in the life of Joseph and the brethren. You remember, after Jacob the father of Joseph, who lived with Joseph in Egypt for 17 years. After Jacob died, then the brethren said, now Joseph is going to take revenge upon us for what we have done. And when Joseph heard that, he wept. And he said to the brethren, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. To save many people alive. Joseph had such a wonderful spirit that he did not condemn the brethren, but he began to see the divine providential overruling in his life to save his family and all the people lived in that area. Now, brethren, take that on a higher scale. Our Lord Jesus, crucified by his brethren, the Jewish people. He will say, too, that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The overruling providence of our Heavenly Father. What a submissive character. So, brethren, you and I, whatever experiences you are going through, remember that divine providence is still in your life if you have submitted your all to him. That all things work together, whether you understand them or not, to those who love God. And all things will work together according to his purpose. There is a purpose in connection with all of divine dealings with the human family. And how true that is when we think of the sufferings of humanity. What an experience for the human family to go through. But even that is permitted by the Heavenly Father for a divine purpose. And a clue to that is in Ecclesiastes 3:10. I have seen the travail that God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Divine permission of sin and death will work out eventually, in the long run, a wonderful blessing to all the families of the earth. So the human family had to suffer to know what is good and what is evil. To know what it is to be disobedient to the principles of our Heavenly Father. And realize then that when the time comes, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We will rejoice and be glad in his salvation. That's something for the human family to say after passing through the 6,000 years of sin and death. And so there is a purpose for everything. Oh, I think of Jacob, the father again, of the brethren, Joseph and the brethren. The first time the brethren went into Egypt and came back with the bags and the money, and then the brethren said that Benjamin would have to come if we go again, and things of that nature. And Jacob was so puzzled. He said, everything is against me. In the 42nd chapter of Genesis, everything is against me. That's typical of us, isn't it? Human nature. Oh, everything is just working the opposite. I think most of us have experienced that in one way or another. We get into one trouble and then another and then another, and we say everything is against us. But when you stop to think about Jacob, it wasn't against him. Everything was for him. because eventually he saw his son Joseph. He rejoiced with him, and his life was saved, his family was saved, and everything connected with that. And so, if God is for us, who can be against us? So, brethren, look forward. Look on a higher ground. Let's not look towards the earth. When we do, then we become sad. When you look towards this planet earth and the suffering of humanity, it's depressing, isn't it? But if we look up to our divine blessings through our Heavenly Father and all of the scriptures that help us to look upon Him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, brethren, our Lord Jesus feared death, oblivion, complete wiping away from this, from existence. See? But the Heavenly Father blessed him, and how often that voice came from heaven and said, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased." And so we read, continue to read Paul's information to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, he reverenced. And so our Lord Jesus was heard, and the Father lifted him up to a higher position. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Yes, the author of the eternal salvation unto everyone that will obey him. In the kingdom of Christ, dear friends, all that will obey will receive a blessing and a wonderful comfort when they see their human family again and can rejoice in what God has done for them. Brethren, let us realize that suffering is not easy. Suffering is not easy. It's very difficult. But yet, the Lord has promised grace sufficient for every time of need. There is no temptation taking you, Paul says in 10th chapter of Corinthians. But that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Way of escape. Complete trust in the Father in all his doings. Oh, brethren, let us do that. Let us seek to do that, no matter what comes. I know it's easy to say, but we must do that in order to overcome. He that, remember in Revelation, there's 6 or 7 places, scriptures, where it says, "He that overcometh," there's something to overcome. And then when we do that, when we overcome, then, oh, what a delight. What a delight on the other side when we'll be with our Master and be instruments of blessing to all the families of the earth. Though he were a son, yet a son. You know, sometimes we say, "Oh, I'm a Christian, and why should this happen to me? I want to do everything good, and all this evil comes upon me." Think of Jesus. He was a son, always in harmony with the Father. See? Fellowship with the Father. He was never alone in the sense of being isolated. The Father was with him. And so that encouraged him and brought about the faithfulness. Oh, brethren, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wreck of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime.
May the Lord add his blessing.